What's happening locally? The news.
And it is that time of the morning for us to take that look. Some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama. The epidemiological report of the Ministry of Health from this Monday, March the 14th, reports 3 deaths from COVID-19 in the last 24 hours, which brings the accumulated number of deaths to 8,140. It was confirmed that there are 146 new infections, and to detect the new cases, 3,668 tests were applied, returning a positivity of 4%. The report adds that the active cases total 2,420, of which 2,297 are in home isolation, and there are 123 hospitalised. Those in isolation are divided into 2,268 at home and 29 in the so-called hospital hotels. While those hospitalised, we have 108 patients in the wards and we have 15 in the intensive care units. Regarding the number of recovered patients, going back to March of 2020 to date, 749,222 have overcome COVID. In the last 24 hours, 433 people recovered. Starting yesterday, nursing staff from the Ministry of Health and the Social Security Fund carried out school vaccination against COVID-19 in 1,552 schools in 39 circuits and 81 districts in the country. The Minister of Health in charge, Yvette Berrio, said that the number of vaccines necessary for this day, which will last until the 18th of March, are available. We are prepared for the number of students, she stressed. Berrio urged parents to take advantage of the opportunity and allow their children to be vaccinated. To do this, they must sign the consent or accompany their children on the immunisation day. The official said that initially there was concern on the part of the caregivers about these vaccines. However, little by little, they have realised their effectiveness. Parents are making the smart decision to vaccinate their children, she noted. Berrio stressed that the vaccines against COVID-19 have made it possible to reduce the number of deaths and hospitalisations. It is one of the main tools against the pandemic. Considering that it is not recommended, the attorney of the administration, Rigoberto Gonzalez, objected to Bill 650, which aims to modify the municipal regime to exempt municipalities, community boards, provincial councils from the provisions contained in the public and regional procurement law. Said bill was presented in July of 2021 by the deputy of the ruling Democratic Revolutionary Party, Javier Sucre, who chairs the Municipal Affairs Commission of the National Assembly. The project has already been approved in the first debate and awaits a second debate in the legislative plenary session since October of last year. Sucre alleges that what is intended is to incorporate into the municipal regime more expeditious procedures for minor hiring of local governments. This, in the face of the emergencies that have arisen in the country due to natural disasters and the COVID-19 pandemic. The attorney, however, concluded that granting this discretion to municipalities, community boards, provincial and county councils would conflict with the intention of standardising public contracting processes. According to his criteria, what is sought with the aforementioned project is to speed up minor purchases in municipalities, community boards, provincial and county councils. What should be promoted is the introduction of these mechanisms within the public procurement law, which would ensure compliance with the ethical principles linked to the purchasing system. When investigating a case about the possible sale of a ruling in the Supreme Court of Justice for which Oyden Ortega Collado, son of former magistrate Oyden Ortega Duran and former secretary Claudia Percate, were convicted last Friday, the Anti-Corruption Prosecutor's Office did not find elements that revealed the connection of magistrates with this crime, and that forced them to send the file to the National Assembly, the competent entity to investigate the magistrates. This is stated in the conviction of Ortega Collado and Percate issued by judges Ilka Castillo, Jennifer Saavedra and Roberto Tejera after a trial that lasted from Tuesday the 8th to Friday the 11th of March. The complainant in the case, Cesar Alvarado, filed a legal action in 2017. This was against the then magistrate Oyden Ortega Duran before the Credentials Commission of the National Assembly. And although he presented the same evidence that led to the conviction of Ortega Collado and Percate, but deputies filed the case. After that, Alvarado filed a complaint with the public ministry that began the process against Ortega Collado and Percait. The conviction highlights that during the investigations of the prosecution, it was determined that the sale of the judgment was negotiated between 2012 and 2013, initially. Well, Alvarado contacted a private individual, Jacobo Brouwerman, of whom no further details have been given, and he said that he had the contacts in the court to achieve a favourable ruling for this case. He introduced him to Ortega Collado, who, on his side, asked him for money to manage the admission of an appeal and, in addition, using his status as son of Judge Ortega Duran, obtain a sentence in his favour. Well, during the trial, the prosecution presented WhatsApp conversations between Alvarado and Ortega Collado, in which the latter assured the former that he could obtain the admission of the appeal and that for this he had Percait, who worked with his father in the civil court courtroom. In order not to go to jail, Alvarado signed a collaboration agreement with the prosecution for which he appeared at trial as a witness and gave details of the conversations and the payments he made to achieve a favourable ruling in a lawsuit for the recovery of 8 farms in Chiriquí. He specified that he made payments of $5,000 and $15,000 to obtain the admission of the cassation appeal, remove it from the office of then-magistrate Harley Mitchell, and that it be brought to the attention of magistrates Hernán de León and Oriden Ortega. He explained that in the end they demanded another $250,000 to resolve the process in his favour, but since he did not have that amount of money, well, he decided to report the irregularities. By admitting the request to revoke the mandate filed by the lawyer Roberto Ruiz Diaz against the mayor of Panama, José Luis Fábrega, the regional directorate of electoral organization of the electoral court incurred, quote, a clear abuse of authority. This was argued by the lawyer Carlos Carrillo, who represents Fábrega, when appealing the decision of the Tribunal Electoral last week. Now, according to the appeal, by admitting the request for revocation, the Tribunal Electoral violated the fundamental guarantees of Fábrega, since Article 500 of the Electoral Code states that no authority can face more than one request for revocation or mandate by popular initiative at the same time, and the Tribunal Electoral is already processing a request in this sense presented by Raúl Ricardo Rodríguez. According to the appeal, the Electoral Organization Directorate exceeded its functions by admitting a second request and incurred a violation of due process, since with this, Fábrega was exposed to multiple requests to revoke the mandate simultaneously. Carrillo also argued that the appealed resolution contains defects, among them the absence of the arguments of the authority itself for its admission. Likewise, that he does not specify whether the plaintiff was a resident of the Capital District at the time of the 2019 elections, nor does it explain the alleged facts on which the request to revoke the mandate is based. Raúl Ricardo Rodríguez, Fábrega's rival in the 2019 election, submitted his request in August of 2020 after the mayor was fined for breaching the quarantine due to the pandemic, but that request was not accepted because at that time the matter was not regulated, according to Osman Valdez, director of the electoral organization. External deposits boosted the growth of deposits in the International Banking Center last year. The market closed 2021 with $33,880.6 million in external deposits, a figure that represents an increase of $1,625 million, or 5%, compared to 2020. The Superintendent of Banks, Amaury Castillo, said that the performance is a reflection of confidence in the banking sector, also favoured by Panama's being a dollarised economy. In the midst of complex geopolitical situations that several countries in the region are going through, Panama continues to be a safe place to place deposits, he said. In nominal terms, the largest increase in deposits come from Peru, Colombia, and El Salvador, according to a recent report on banking activity as of December of 2021, prepared by the regulator. External deposits set the growth trend, but the bulk of the deposits continues to be in internal deposits, which closed 2021 at $63,134.3 million. The growth was $193 million, or 0.3%, a slower pace than the one recorded in previous periods. The regulator pointed out in the report that this behaviour may be related to the reopening of activities affected by the pandemic, the reduction of precautionary savings, and the resumption of payment of obligations covered by financial relief programmes. Adding foreign and domestic deposits, the internal banking centre closed the year with $97,014.9 million in deposits, 1.9% more than 2020. The National Migration Service reported on Monday on the arrest of a Somali citizen with a criminal record who had entered the country irregularly after crossing the border with Colombia. The authorities confirmed that this person was held in the immigration reception station in San Vicente in Darien. This was after verifying that he had a criminal record and links to terrorist activities. According to migration records so far in 2022, they have detained at least 12 people who irregularly crossed the Isthmian border through Darien, with a current security alert in their country of origin or from other nations. It was reported that one of the tools to verify the identity of these people is biometric. It's a technology used at checkpoints to detect those who have this type of international alert. The 12 people who have been detained this year with a current alert are for crimes such as homicide, fraud, terrorism, drug trafficking, among others. And that's it. There we go. There's our look for this morning. Some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama, compiled for you on this morning's Breakfast Show.